Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, welcome, 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 D Hour Radio Network, D Slate and the brothers of the D Hour Radio Network. The Tuesday spot is upon us once again on this lovely Tuesday, June 18, 2013. The brothers are back once again. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We got a great show for you guys tonight. As always, tonight, as our celebrity guest that we will be talking to tonight, the Tuesday Spot and the brothers of the DIY Radio Network are proud to welcome our special guest, the beautiful, the gorgeous Miss Katie Albert, is going to be joining us tonight on the DIY Radio Network's Tuesday Spot. We're going to be getting in with her in a little bit. As well as, you already know what goes down on Tuesday, the number one segment on the Diablo Radio Network, also on Tuesday, is our segment, Real Men Talking. Oh, Real Men Talking is going down tonight, so you better make sure you don't go nowhere. Real Men Talking, real quick, is a segment that me and the brothers put together where we answer love and relationship questions from women that women want to hear a man's point of view on. And, you know, we try to be as honest as we possibly can, you know, for all the answers, ladies. So, you know, definitely feel free to post your questions in the chat room. If you're listening, you can log into our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Hour Show. Post your questions in there, or we would love for you guys to call when the Real Men Talking segment is popping off. We would love for you guys to call and ask your questions, 718-766-4553. That's 718-766-4553. Feel free to call and ask us whatever you want to ask us, and we will try to be as honest and as detailed as we possibly can and give you our honest opinion about that particular question and tell you what we think as far as love and relationships are concerned. And as well as, you know, we got some things we'll be talking about. You know, Elio got his segment. My man CK got his segment tonight. It's going down on the Tuesday Spot. I'm so happy to have my brothers in the building. And I would also like to take this time to to tell my brother CK and my brother LEO, Happy Father's Day. They're some incredible fathers, and I truly want to wish them Happy Father's Day from the bottom of my heart. You know, again, we're getting it in with you guys tonight. My brother CK, what's good, bro?
What's going on, D Slay? Thank you for the love. Happy Father's Day to you as well, and Happy Father's Day to you too, LEO. Not much. I'm excited about the night. You know, I'm always excited about Tuesday night. You know, we got the real men talking, and we got LEO's segment, and your segment, and my segment all in one. So, you know, I got a great topic I want to discuss with about Chad Johnson's wife. You know, the photos came out of her head button, you know, from him. You know, so I want to get into that tonight. So that's going to be a little interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very Yeah, we're going to get it in with that tonight. LEO, my bro, what's good, bro?
Nothing much, and thank you for the wishes. Happy Father's Day to the both of you, too. I definitely got it turned up this weekend for Father's Day. I definitely want to hear about you guys' explorations over the weekend. And it's not a better day to have real men talking, to have a real lady, Miss Katie Albert, on air tonight. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. So, I mean, I'm living every day optimistic. So, I'm still doing me.
That's real. Well, you know what? I'm going to start it off, man. My weekend, you know, my Father's Day was really good. You know, definitely enjoyed the family. And, you know, my daughter's special, man. She's special. I love her. She, I got some gifts. You know, I got quite a few gifts from the family, you know, from my daughter. And she wanted to cook for me. You know, now, granted, you know, my daughter's 14. You know, we're still in that phase where, you know, she's, you know, we're teaching her how to cook and different things like that. And, you know, she's learning those things, but, she wanted to cook for me. I thought that was kind of special. She did pretty good. You know, she asked me questions and, you know, Daddy, how long am I supposed to keep this on? You know, should I do this and should I do that? You know, cause you know, of course her dad is the original Chef Boyardee. So, you know, of course I had to, you know, give her, you know, the proper tutelage, you know, that she needed, you know, to be good at cooking in her beginning phase. But she did really good, man. I was proud of her. I was happy, you know, that she thought of wanting to do something like that. So it was cool, though, man. I had a really good Father's Day. What about you guys?
Me, I spent most of the day with my daughter hugged to my hip. You know, I gotta love that feel. She's 2 now, but it's definitely mobile and moving around much more potently. I went out to Delaware to visit my grandfather. It was my grandfather, my pop, my brother. So we had a little Father's Day drink. I didn't even know my granddad. He pulled a bottle of Quavo from behind the bar. I was like, whoa, he gets it in. He gets it in. So, yeah, we turned up a little bit. But for Grandpa, I got this new tequila. I was like, what? I was like, he definitely turned up. The Quavo. I'm talking about a handle.
Wow.
Right.
He said, you're going to feel this Father's Day. Well, that's real talk, though. That's real talk. What about you, CK?
Well, my son, he was away. He was on one of his little missions. His mom and them were doing some stuff this weekend. But he took the time to call me and tell me Happy Father's Day. So that was a highlight of the day. And I got a lot of phone calls from a lot of other people wishing me Happy Father's Day as well. They're online. I just took the day to relax and enjoy. I was still mad because I thought some nice, fortunate person was going to take me to go see Man of Steel or at least take me out to eat. But, you know, it is okay. You know, I'm hanging in there, you know. I'm going to see Man of Steel, you know. Oh, yeah, I didn't get to see Fast and Furious 6, too. So, you know, that was another thing that, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm going to keep it right here. You know, I'm holding something to suck it off.
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this, CK. Man of Steel was on Peasy, brother. it was on PZ big time. I'm gonna talk to you guys about that as well. We're gonna discuss that. I wanted to go in about the Man of Steel movie as well, but also just talking about this Father's Day thing. You know, I found it amazing Sunday because, of course, you know, I have to work on Sunday, but I found it amazing that some of the guys, you know, some of my friends at work, you know, some of these cats actually forgot it was Father's Day. They actually forgot that it was. I mean, that tells you just how sometimes it may seem like Father's Day isn't that significant in the world of holidays. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, of course, you know, Mother's Day is a national holiday. And granted,
right.
You know, granted, Mother's Day is so very much recognized. You know, it's almost like Christmas. You know, recognizing Mother's Day is almost like recognizing Christmas. And rightfully so, because there's some amazing mothers out there who's got to do a dual role with taking care of, you know, their kids. And, you know, so rightfully so, they deserve all the praise in the world. But it just seems like Father's Day sometimes is so less significant, and cats really don't even be thinking about it too much.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see how that could be. Cause, I mean, as a man, we really don't make a big deal about oneself, but I think it should be recognized a little bit more than what it is, because being a father and a good father these days is becoming a rare thing in the public's eye, rather. I think it should be recognized a little bit more, maybe on the standard of a Mother's Day. I don't know if it's going to be like that in its entirety, but I feel you there.
What do you think, CK?
I mean, well, you know, like, yeah, Mother's Day is always going to be widely known. And, you know, mothers feel that, you know, that they contribute quite a lot more so than what a lot of the dads do. And I mean, it's commercially successful. Father's Day is not as commercially successful as Mother's Day, but I don't think a lot of times, like Elio said, a lot of the time men don't trip off of the day off, the day more so than anything. I think more so our day was like Thanksgiving, football game, Super Bowl, World Series, you know, those important days. What is our birthdays, you know, those be like, but you know, like Father's Day, we love our children, but you know, it's not as, we don't make a big deal out of the day like how it is expressed about Mother's Day. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel you. What do you think about Father's Day, makes Father's Day? Like, what makes your Father's Day? I was thinking about that over the weekend. What really made me feel like the ultimate father? What about fatherhood makes you feel that way?
You know, honestly, I think for me, it's just, it's just a matter of not just watching them grow up, but the things that you're teaching them and, you know, being there, you know, for the process and teaching them and seeing that they're learning from what you're teaching them. And it's almost just like the fruits of your labor. You know, you're putting in work and you're teaching them to be better people and you're teaching them to be positive and you're teaching them to help secure their future. So when you see them grow up and you see them learn and you see them not just learn and love learning, but also appreciate what you're teaching them, and you see that what you're teaching them is actually working, and they're actually a good child and they're listening to you and they're loving you, I think not just as a father but as a parent, I think that makes you feel good about what you're doing, and you feel liberated because you feel like I am really truly raising my child right.
Yeah, I feel you on that note.
You know,
I think the biggest thing
you have a really sweet liberation about that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me on Father's Day, the reason why it's not a big deal to me, because I, honest to God, it feels like Father's Day every time I walk through the door and my daughter's there waiting for me, screaming my name. That's like Father's Day to me every time that happens. And it's so often that, you know, just designating a day for that, it really has no significance, because I feel that all the time.
Right. I mean, I guess from my standpoint is just that, you know, love from your child, you get all year round, no matter what, you know. Yeah, that's like Father's Day, you know. Like for me, like last year, I didn't think about it as being Father's Day. I thought it was a father-son day out. We went to go see the Avengers, and I took him to McDonald's, which was one of his favorite spots, and we had fun, you know. Like Mother's Day, I took him out to the movies on Mother's Day. We went to go see Iron Man 3. We had a blast, and we went to go eat. And it was just the time put into it that what makes it unique and the fun and appreciate it.
That's right.
That's the love right there. You know, when he was born, I was holding a little bitty person. I'm like, wow, you know. Seeing him grow up, and he was two, and all of the little different things, you know, we had some hard times that we had to go through with each other as far as situations where he was in the hospital for an accident, but other than that, I mean, I enjoy every little minute I have with him, so that's what makes it unique for me.
That's real, and brothers out there, brothers that are listening, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, we're not knocking the importance of Father's Day. We're not saying that it's not, you know, that important to you. But we're just stating, you know, what it truly means to us. And I was stating the fact that, you know, society, you know, Mother's Day is so widely recognized. Like I said, like a major holiday, like Christmas, and with society, Father's Day is I won't say unappreciated, but it's less, you know, recognized, you know, than Mother's Day, you know, or even some other holidays. But it's just less recognized. You know, not saying that, you know, you shouldn't feel important as a father, because like my man, you know, like my brother Leo said, we feel like fathers every day when we go. When we see our kids, you know, and they run into us and, you know, giving us hugs and kisses and, you know, just happy to see us. I mean, that's Father's Day every day for a lot of brothers. So I think that's the reason why we sometimes, as men, tend to not look at it as it being, you know, that important as anything else, because we look at it as it's just another day, but we do appreciate being recognized. You know, so, you know, I think that's the significance, the true significance for some men for Father's Day. So, I also want to say on a higher note, congratulations to Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. They've finally had their child, and supposedly everything is okay. The baby is good. Everything is good with them. Hopefully we'll get an opportunity to find out what the name of the baby is going to be. So congratulations to Kim and Kanye. Kim-ye, they like to call them. And I really do hope that they don't name the baby. I really do hope that they don't name the baby Kim-ye. Just let's just hope that it don't really go that far. Let's hope it don't go that far. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to worry about finding a job, because it'll probably be all right for the rest of their lives.
And you can best believe the baby gonna have the tightest clothes a baby would ever have.
Right.
So
yeah, they gonna design their own clothing line for the baby.
Oh yeah, you already know it. You already know they are. So, and I could see a reality show coming up out of this too. Kim. They might call it Kim Ye and them, but you know, just a suggestion. But we don't need no more reality shows. I'm not gonna punish nobody like that. I don't think anybody wanna hear any more reality shows. But yeah, we definitely getting it in, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. Tuesday spot, D Slate, LEOCK, doing it like we always do it. We're gonna take a quick music break. When we come back, we got more to talk about. And also coming up in the next hour, 7 PM Pacific time, 9 PM Central, 10 PM Eastern, we will be talking to the beautiful Miss Katie Albert is going to be on the show with us, so make sure you don't go anywhere. Getting it in for the Tuesday spot. If you are a hip-hop artist, R&B singer, gospel singer, you want to be showcased on the D'Alba Radio Network, you want us to play your music, you want to be interviewed, all you have to do is email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. That's dhourshow@gmail.com. If you have a business or a website you would like to advertise on our network, no problem. All you have to do is email us again at dhourshow@gmail.com, and we will definitely get that information to you about how you can advertise on our network. Getting in again for the fit-in, the Tuesday spot, oh, it's going down. It's the Dungeon Family Generation X, Beautiful Blue. Already, just go.
Solitary confinement, solar botany, plants on consignment. Southern water flow, instrumental pirate. Was a roach among rats, now a tyrant. Shaking up the whole world, I'm vibrant. Check the problems in my world, I'm smiling. Funky digging that computer, new hybrid. They took my brain and traveled galaxies to hide it. Absent minded, far gone, looking back to the future from the booth like where the time went. Sunshine in my thoughts, I combined it, bind it. Then I changed the climate, rhyming. Nothing compares to it. Skip the polarities. Let's have a good time. Enjoy the sunshine. Yeah, these is real raps. No punchline. We sip lemonade. Granddaddy's recipe. A piece of pecan pie. Laying under the shade tree. Hold her hand. Kiss and hugging on the front porch. All the kids running wild in the front yard. I'm digging the feeling. I'm feeling. Is you with me? Wait. Bring it back, like. Properly, don't like it in my orange juice. Jones will leave you walking in the rain, but I'ma come through. Hear my Umbros, we're in the LLA. I'm chilling with the Dungeon Family in the cosmos. We hit the quasars and race cars. Bobby Whitfield control the outer space while they dance with the stars. I three sing with the comet, need a bigger wave bar. Not a thing is in my stomach, huh? The abdomen, the abdomen. It's gold, daddy, I don't know my name, cause I'm
like fresh glue on my dough. I'm feeling so brand new.
Live it life. Yeah. This goes out to all the women that hold their man down. Especially my woman. My 22.
Every since that day we met, I
feel so complete.
You've wrapped your love around me, babe. I don't have to fall for nothing.
As long as I can be with you.
I wanna be with you. Baby, you're my inspiration.
Angel,
you put your life on hold to be with me. I can't live a day without you.
Announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, yeah! Back again, DIY Show Radio Network Tuesday spot. The brothers is in the building playing the hits. You already know how we do it. B-Slay, CK, LEO, we getting it in for the fit-ins. Tonight, you just heard my man Donnell Jones with his new single, Forever. Before that was the Dungeon Family, Generation X with Beautiful Blue. Doing it like that, playing the hits as always. Thanking you guys for tuning in and hanging out with us tonight. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to kick off one of our mini segments on the Tuesday spot. Coordinated by my man, LEO, getting it in tonight. We like to call it, Where Do We Go From Here? Elio, where do we go from here, brother?
Basically, it's like this. Tonight, I'm going to open up a discussion, and I want to discuss the topic of poverty. Definitely in America, but I know it goes on all throughout the country. But just to make us a subject, the first question that I want to draw is, do you feel like poverty is man-created?
Do we feel like poverty is man-created?
Yes.
You know what? Just my quick take on that. I would say yes. And I would say that because as human beings, you know, we make decisions that affect not just our lives but other individuals as well. Especially if we're running companies or if we're working for companies or if we've created businesses or whatever the case in schools, whatever the case may be, relationships, whatever the case may be, we make decisions. We have free will to make our own decisions about things, and you know, some people make bad decisions, and because of those bad decisions, our society, whether it's the low class society or the middle class or however you want to categorize everybody, but what happens is because of certain decisions and actions, certain communities and certain people have been poverty stricken and have been put in, you know, in situations where they have to deal with poverty. Now, again, there's people out there that are working and have jobs and, you know, and have places to stay and pay bills. Doesn't necessarily mean that they live in a good life, you know, because, you know, people that work jobs and have to live check to check, you know, and different things like that are still dealing with poverty type situations. So again, I think man is responsible for certain parts of poverty.
You want to touch that, Sika?
Yeah, I was gonna say I agree with D Slate totally. I feel yes, men have a lot to do with poverty because, like you said, a lot of times the jobs that are ran by men, you know, they're not, everybody's not given an opportunity. And then on top of it, then when you're not given that opportunity, you have to figure out other ways to struggle, to get through the struggle, should I say, and try to get over this hump and just try to survive for you and your family. Prime example of, I know it's television, but Good Times. Every time James would get a job, he, after so many months, he get laid off, you know, and Florida had to count on her job to try to keep money coming in just for the family to eat. And then I know the times are different from now. And I mean, even now, I think now everybody is leaning towards becoming more of an entrepreneur than they were 20, 30 years ago on the account that more jobs are letting go of people. They shut down. They send their jobs overseas thanks to the Bush administration. And it's just hard out here. I know, I remember at one point in time, I worked for a car rental lot. At the same time, on the side, I had to get my hustle on and sell CDs and DVDs and do what I can just to have some extra change. And it's like that, you know, and now I'm a self-published author, so I sell my own books and I perform at different functions and stuff like that just to make extra ends meet. So, yeah, it's men play a big role on the poverty scene.
Right. So to put my take on it, and to briefly touch on what Dee Slade and what you said, CK. So basically, we come to the realms of poverty can take a defense and an offense to this, because we can put ourselves in poverty and we can be placed in poverty. Now, the one that the subject we spoke about is jobs a lot. And for me, how I take a job, it is what it is, just over broke. And we're always fighting to get to the next level. And the reason why I bring up poverty is I ride the trains, and I'm in the city almost every single day, and it's not a day that doesn't go by where there's not someone out there that's begging or asking for some change. And you'll get different types of perspectives on this subject. And some would say, I will always have a helping hand, or either I'm not giving them anything because they need to be getting up and going to work or finding something. Maybe they can't. We never know a person's story. So there's always there's an offense and there's a defense to things. But as far as when we talk about the subject of having enough food to eat, who's to say that I can't eat? Or this why should it even get to a point where we can't have? And I think there is enough resources on this earth where everybody can have a meal. There's animals that reproductive systems that it can keep things continuous. I don't understand the concept of no one eating, someone starving. Now, if a person puts themselves in that situation, which I don't truly believe someone can just. No, I do believe that someone can put themselves in a situation, because there are some instances, I can't even pronounce the word. I'm having a little bit of speech inside of me. But
it's that Quavo, bro. It's all right, though.
Exactly. I'm still trying to recover just a little bit. But it bothers me a great deal to see the amount of people out here struggling. And the why I drew this question up was simply because, where do we go from here? Just knowing this piece of information that everybody that's struggling now poverty, you can make money and still be in poverty, just like these individuals with jobs. Like, we're just over broke. So how do we remedy this situation? How do we grow where everyone can have an equal share, or will there ever be that? And that's the last question I had. Will there ever be a remedy to poverty? Or where it always be?
I think it can be a remedy to poverty. I think, again, I think that it just truly comes down to really good decision-making, man. People just got to make, you know, just make some better decisions, you know, regarding businesses and schools, you know, raising our kids, you know, just so many different aspects that go into living a part of, being a part of society. I just think that we just have to make better decisions, not just for ourselves, but, you know, for others around us. So I think, you know, the better the decisions that we make, I think, you know, poverty can definitely, I don't think it's going to, you know, disappear altogether, but it can definitely be helped. And it can definitely decrease, just depending on making the right decision.
Right. Pika?
Well, I totally agree with you. I believe there's a remedy for everything, as far as the poverty situation. I feel that, I mean, it plays on both ends. If men and women could be open-minded to new ideas that are made from different companies or different entrepreneurs, there could be a balance. I just think that, I mean, just need to be more open-mindedness, more support, more. I mean, in a lot of cities and a lot of different other states, the lack of support is where it's at for most of the time. I just think that we can come together and try to make something happen. I mean,
That's
a lot
real.
of the other people, the world can come together and make everything, make businesses form and companies emerging. I mean, we can take down poverty.
Right.
They did it before.
No. My spin on it would be, I'm gonna take the optimistic approach to it. There's first knowledge. I think knowledge is key. Educating yourself, and there's always a possibility. Before I would hold my hand out to someone, I would try to do something myself. It's always something out there that I can do. If it's not washing a car, holding the door, taking out trash, raking some leaves, if it's something, there's something I can do. Even if it's the bottom of the barrel. But I think as people, we have to humble ourselves and rationalize and not be out for that quick dollar, but more so that longevity dollar. So no, not necessarily stop focusing on the right now, because right now you may be in a slump, you may be in a struggle, but just make those necessary steps needed to grow a couple of years from now. You know, I think a lot of the times people think about that right now, even back into the slave days and how our people got captured. It was our own people that gave us up, thinking about the right now. Oh, right now I can get, but hundreds, thousands of years down the line, look at what we've got for that quick decision. It's about making those long-term decisions. That's all we are.
That's real. That's real.
Yeah, it's real. Totally real.
Where do we go from here like this?
There it is, baby. Where do we go from here? Great topics, great discussion as usual. I agree, man. I really do hope that we can fix this this poverty situation, especially as in the time right now where the economy isn't that good, man. And you know, I think you know we just really need to make better decisions. And like I said, not just for us, but for our family and people around us, man, especially when we're running businesses and schools and different things like that, man, we just got to make better decisions. Definitely got to make better decisions. And we might have an opportunity to decrease poverty. It's been a problem for as long as I can remember. And hopefully one day we'll be able to solve this problem we call poverty. So, again, we get it in like that, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the Tuesday, 5D Slate, L-E-O-C-K, the brothers is in the building. We gotta pay some commercial bills, but when we come back, sometimes we get letters, and people tell us, D-Slate, you need to pay your bills. Sometimes the collectors call us, and sometimes we might not answer the phone because we know it's some damn bill collectors. So we gotta pay some bills. That's what they're telling me. We gotta pay some bills. So in the spirit of helping poverty, I'm gonna pay some bills right now when we come back. When we come back, part one of Real Men Talking goes down. Don't go nowhere when we come back. Part one of Real Men Talking. You already know, baby. Let's go.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn... is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Yeah, welcome back. DL Radio Network, D-Slay, CK, Elio, the brothers in the building. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hold off on real men talking. You know, we're going to kick it off, but not just yet. You know, I want to give us the proper time that we need for our number one segment, Real Men Talking. So right now, we're going to take a music break. We got to play some of these hits. And hopefully when we come back, we'll be talking with the beautiful Miss Katie Aubert right here on the Diablo Radio Network's Tuesday spot. And we have my girl, Candace Glover, winner of this year's American Idol. Congratulations to her. That's my girl. She's a phenomenal singer, one of the best voices I've ever heard on American Idol. Right here is her new single off her album, I Am Beautiful. I Am Beautiful, Miss Candace Glover, right here on the D-Hour Tuesday spot. Let's go.
still here. Yeah. Yo, yo, it seems like I'm just losing direction. Or maybe I'm just lost in my own imperfections. I got the footnotes, everyone that used me as a reference. Cause every day in my life learn a valuable lesson. Everything I'm not made me everything I am. Everything I'm missing, turn my family into critics. I just wanted them to listen. I noticed that they didn't, so I'm getting that they really wasn't feeling my decisions. I only wanted them to be happy that I did it. But it feels like I'm happier when I just keep my distance. Through the grapevine, they whispering, I'm trying to be myself. They see me as somebody different, but hold up, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I still suffer from a scar from my old friend. Her old friend, I consider my own kin. But now that he's gone, he's blowing in his own wind.
Now all the sun, but I overcome all the chains that had me down. Said I had no chance, like your only plan was to try to keep me down.
Clouds knocking as I'm looking through the peephole. It said I needed more attention from the people. So they caught the tears evaporated from my cheekbones. Cause right now, they don't need to hear me lie. They need to feel my pain. They need to hear my cry. And when my soul leaves this earth, they gon' feel me die. Cause I wasn't born for you niggas to ask me why. Hey yo, I've been through a lot of shit. I lost and I gained. And everything I gained, I lost in the vein. Bring my head against the wall. Damn near lost my brain. Having kids at an early age, I felt so ashamed. But this my flowing blood that's running through their veins, so I'm bleeding on these records in case they got us the same. I'm able without pain, I'm sure to make change, for I swear it on my name. Yeah, that's me telling the truth, fam. Don't matter if I'm in or out the booth, man. Don't matter if you in with about your truth, and I stopped worrying when I got rid of all my roots.
I'm still here. Done, but I overcome all the chains that had me down. Said I had no chance, like your only plan was to try to keep me down.
Guess I get another chance to pick up where I left off and carry on with my plans. Yeah, Lord, I thank you in advance. Never make it to the morning sun just to do this again. So I'ma mark this down. It's the when I got friends to turn the page just to go and read the end. All I got is memories of all the places that we've been. Reminiscing all the good, so all I ever do is grin. And I'ma hold it down with everything left in me. With every breath for me until I feel my chest empty. As I walk on this journey alone, it feels like we are together when I think about home. So I'm still there.
Till we side by side. Oh, yeah, my lady, living my life without you, completely impossible. And I do cherish life. I want to occupy your time. Just thinking about the way you love me. Don't have to ask for you to trust me. Already know it's all for you. All that I do support you. Something about the way you smile that lets me know just how you be feeling all the time. I can't even leave unless you with me. You got me hooked and on the real tip, that's no lie. Never trade your loving for my life for no material things, just me. And lady, I am sincere. My lady, I can't live without more to love and adore. With this spring be faithful till we side by side forever. I'm positively sure that I'm sure. Real this is, and it ain't every day a man gets something real. Claim my soulmate like it's my birthday. How could I deserve what he gave? I must be tripping. You're mine and only mine, my best friend. And I would never trade your loving for my life for no material thing, just me and lady. I am. I can't live without more to love and adore. With this spring be faithful to you, side by side forever. I'm positively sure that I'm sure. Oh, my lady, of love and joy and pain. Be yours, you can have it, girl, whatever. As sincere as I am, you'll never really understand how much I give up for you.
Kick this one here for me and my and devour at the same time. I'll eat you up with a rhyme, but I let you slide because you accidentally hopped on the wrong side. Now come on, that's suicide. Hypothetically speaking, okay, let's say you didn't know what you were doing. You're new in town and you're looking around for another name to ruin, and it's me that you're pursuing. Well, 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 I'll be damned. I might as well tell you who I am. I am the capital L-Y-T-E, and it's shocking, I'm the one you're mocking. Oh yeah, I've been watching you, watching me like the fat on your back. It's plain to see that you're a wannabe, but you can't be what you're not, so you better start living with what you got. Rhyme out the batch, and you're the receiver, eager as a beaver. Time to convert the non-believer that I'm a roadrunner, leaving you in the dust. I can't adjust to the times, and at times I might just get quicker. Than the trigger of your pacemaker, more tender than a roly, but harder than a jawbreaker. So don't ever second guess me. And if you're wondering who could the best be, think a second and recollect the worst whipping you ever had yet. And I'll bet that I did it. My fingerprints are still on you. How many times I gotta warn you about the light? It'll blind your sight, but the rhythm will still guide you through the night. Kick, 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 kick.
I got it made. You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in a 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Yeah, yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. The Hour Radio Network, Tuesday Spot. D Slay, L E O C K. The brothers is in the building. You just got to listen to D Slay's old school hip hop double play. You know, I get it in like that. That was my man Special Ed. I got it made. Before that was my girl MC Light. Cha, 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 doing it like that. Before that, you heard my man Sincere Grant was Sincerely Yours, and my man Trail Mac getting it in with Still Here, right here on the Tuesday Spot. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, it's time for us to introduce our beautiful and lovely guest tonight on the Tuesday Spot, model and actress Katie Aubert. Started her modeling career with LA Models in 2001 as a runway model working overseas. Soon, she ventured into print modeling with Elite Models LA, where she was thrust into major campaigns. Soon after, Katie entered into the world of commercials, where again, she was lucky enough to land into some very memorable campaigns. In 2002, while hosting the MTV show Kidnapped with Dave Holmes, she landed her first major role, not surprisingly, on her first audition in the cult classic Friday After Next. Soon following shortly, she played an incredible role in the hit movie The Scorpion King. And right now, she's definitely doing her thing, and we are so blessed to have her on the Tuesday Spot with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the gorgeous Miss Katie Aubert.
Hello.
Hi, Katie. How you doing?
What's happening? Hey, boo,
what's
hey.
Good? So what's going on with you? How you doing today? What's going on in Cali today? What's good with Katie?
Man, I just got back from Africa, so I'm feeling great, feeling real black right now.
Oh, wow. Wow. So
literally got like 8 shades darker.
So when you came back, did they bless you with a new name when you were out there in Africa?
Well, you know, it's funny because like the guys out there, they when you're born, you get a name, which is like the day of the week. Like I think Tuesday is Kofi, and then Wednesday is Kwaku, and so that's like your first name, and then you use your name that your parents give you or what have you, and the women have names like that as well. So I gotta find out what day I was born, and then they'll tell me what my name is, what day of the week it was.
So how was that experience? How was that experience going over there to Africa?
It was great. This was my second time. And, you know, it's just so funny. I was just telling somebody, it's like every time I go there, I'm just kind of like, damn, why did y'all take us from here? Like, why you just leave us here? Because it's so crazy.
Right.
Like, no, for real. Like, just the whole camaraderie amongst, you know, our people over there. You know what I mean? Like the love and just, you know, it's like, it's crazy. Like, I have several female friends that I made from the first trip over there. And the second time I went just recently, like, they all, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. It's a different feeling. It feels great. And it's so funny because you very rarely see white people. And then when you see them, you're like, yo, what are they doing here?
I know that's right. You're like, don't you think you out of place here, bro?
Right.
I know,
like,
that's right.
What? For real.
I have a lot of friends that definitely went over there, and they felt the same way you do. They were just like, man, I don't understand why they took us away from over here. And it's almost like they want to go back and find out who was responsible for us taking that one-way cruise. I mean,
no, the history is crazy. I was in Ghana, and on my Instagram, I have photos where I went down to this place called Independence Square. And I found out that Ghana, which there's a city called Accra, which is where I was, and Accra was one of the first towns to get liberated from the British. So that's why the Ghana flag has a black star on it, and the Independence Square, that was like their symbol for liberation, was the black star. So I took a photo, like, right underneath it. Yeah, I mean, it's just every time I go, I just learn so much more about, like, just the whole history of it all. Like, it's a trip. It always feels good.
I know I know a lot of people, you know, especially a lot of my friends when they come back and they tell me the same thing, that it was truly a blessed experience to go over there and just get a lot of history. And now, is it true? Because I know a lot of people feel like that, you know, some Africans have like they don't really care too much for African Americans in America.
You know what it is? The thing is they take such pride in being black. Like, mm-hmm. it's such a pride thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just the, I think they might feel, some of them feel like we don't take enough pride in it. And then it's like, you know, as far as education and stuff like that, like, just it's just the difference in the way we look at I think principles you know what I'm saying, like they just take education they take, you know, starting your own businesses, and even if it's just a little cart on the side of the road selling phone cards or
right.
you know bananas, you know, or roasting corn or something like that, you know what I mean? It's like they own that, you know,
they take that real serious.
They take it real serious, you know. Their little businesses sit on the side of the road on dirt, but you see them out there sweeping it. You know
dedicated.
What I mean? Like, yeah. So they just kind of feel like, I think a lot of them kind of like we
take advantage.
Do the things. Yeah. Like,
right. We don't appreciate. We truly don't. Because I know I have a lot of friends from Ghana and from Sierra Leone, and I know they said the same thing, is that they feel like that some they said some of the older African men,
like, they
women,
don't curse.
They,
like, they don't curse.
Right.
They don't
right.
like, they look down on people that say curse words, that, you know what I mean? They
true.
Smoking weed is taboo. Like, it's real, you know, it's different. And what's funny right now, because I have a friend over there who's like an award-winning journalist, like, and she was kind of schooling me on a lot of, you know, things that's going on over there right now. And it's just crazy because now, like, people are, you know, like Middle Eastern and white people in particular are going over there now trying to steal it from them with the oil and the diamonds and all that kind of stuff. Like, they, like,
no.
when you see, you know, it's like crazy. Like, if you would have been
right.
able to see what they did over here in the beginning, if you go to Africa now, you could catch what's happening over there now at the beginning of they're going over there trying to take all our shit. Like, it's crazy stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, people, you know, people tend to see movies and, you know, and I'm talking about other cultures, but they tend to see movies and, you know, they see stuff like the Blood Diamond and different things like that. And they hear about all
yeah.
these different things about Africa, and then they want to go over there and, oh, well, we need to go over there and see if we can come up on some of these riches, you know, in this country. But, I mean, and not knowing
like the Chinese are stealing all the gold right now.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Like, it's a lot. And you see them in the airports and, you know, flying back to wherever they're going. And it's just, and I guess there's no regulation right now on, you know, how you could take it and just, you know, like, take it. So, the Chinese.
No doubt. Well, I definitely want to.
But that's a whole nother show. we can talk about that for a minute.
I know you're right. I can go on and on about, you know, some of the downfalls and some of the positives about Africa, you know, because I have so many friends that are from there. But in the meantime, I wanted to ask you about, you know, your first major role was with Friday After Next. I mean, what was that like for you, being a part of that that franchise?
You know, it was crazy because I think in the beginning I kind of didn't realize the impact of it and how what it would have on my career. And I mean, like, the whole way I went into it, like, you know, there was a management company that wanted to. That wanted to sign me, and dogs barking out there. There was a management company that wanted to sign me, and they didn't know whether or not I could act or whatnot. And so I found out later that that whole audition for Friday After Next was kind of a hoax. Like, they called the people and it was like, you know, we want to sign this girl, but we don't know, you know, if she can act or not. Because I was just hosting the show on MTV at the time, Kidnap, with me and Dave Holmes. And so, so they were like, we know you're looking for somebody like around, you know, in her caliber, in her lane or whatnot. So we just going to have you read her. We know she's not going to get it, but, you know, just call us back and let us know, you know, what she, what her abilities are, you know, whatever, whatever. And so then they ended up calling her back and was like, well, not only can she act, but she got the part.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then, so, and when my agent called me with it, you know, and we, you know, we went over it and was like, should I do it? And then he was like, yeah. And it was, you know, just kind of went from there. And then once I got on set, and see, that was me and Cat Williams' first, like, he had done, like, some little movie before that, but that was me and his like, first major role. And we were, like, the newbies because everybody else had been in a Friday before. Like, it's a family kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Right,
with, like, John
exactly.
Witherspoon, you know, every, yeah, so.
So
and
how
it was
did they
cool
welcome
because
you guys?
They welcomed us, like, for real, you know. And, I mean, you know, everybody, most of the people in there are kind of older and they've been in the game. And
that's real.
They
yeah.
all knew we were, like, newbies. So, and what made it really cool was, like, me and Kat were, like, so close in it that, you know, me and Kat literally used to, like, huddle before every scene and figure out how we was going to do it. And we had become such good friends that the director had to pull Kat aside at one point and was like, yo, you got to, like, really talk shit to her. Like, you got to really, like, when he was seen in the parking lot, when he was, like, saying something about, you know, don't be sorry, ho, be careful, and all that kind of stuff. Like,
right.
they forced him to do that because he was being too nice to me. Because we were, like, so cool.
Wow.
But it was, like,
I mean,
the coolest set.
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, that's amazing, I mean, to really think about that because, I mean, it, especially with some people, if you've seen, you know, some of his comedy stands and different things like that, everybody say that about him. They say that he's definitely a different individual than he is on stage. And to know that he was that type of individual with you on the set, and then he had to really dig deep to really have to talk to you like that during that scene. That's
amazing. Yeah, if he would have had to do that now, I don't know that it would have went that way.
So it'd be a different story right
he
now.
He would have been like, bitch. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, that's all good. You all good on this network.
Oh,
well, I know I got my brothers in the building. I know they want to get their questions in. CK, you got any questions for Katie?
I sure do. How you doing, Katie?
What's up, man?
Not much. Glad to have you on here.
Man,
thanks
for having me.
No problem. My first question is, what is the best advice that you give young actors that are starting out in the business?
It's funny because, you know, people have asked me that, and it's kind of like, and the time that I always try to, like, find, like, a deeper way to put it, and I'm always trying to learn as much as I can, even now, you know what I mean? Like, and I always say that it definitely has to be a passion. And you gotta really have thick skin. And that's something that, you know, I learned early on and I'm still learning now. Like, some people don't really handle rejection. Some people think that, you know, because you've had a family member tell you for so long that you should do it. You know, everybody gets into it for different reasons. But, you know, it's just, it's something that you got to just really want to do. You know what I mean? Like, you got to really have a passion and a fire in the belly, as they say, because it's going to take you through some things. You know what I mean? And it's going to definitely show you things about yourself. And it's just, it's constant self-discoveries. It's, you know, just people telling you that, you know, telling you no all the time or telling you, making you feel like you're not good enough and you start second guessing yourself. And, you know, and it's never really that. It's just sometimes it's just not the right role for you or just whatever. And even if you got the best talent possible, like, you just don't know, you know, if there was some politics involved, You know, there's so many elements to this business, and there's no manual for this stuff. You know, and that's the one thing that keeps me going even this long, you know, after being in the game this long. It's like, you know, sometimes you want to give up, you know, or sometimes you think, man, I've come to the end of my road, I've peaked or just whatever, you know, and it's just like it goes back to that passion. It goes back to the fire in the belly. It goes back to really knowing who you are and what you want to be and what kind of roles you want. Like, those are the things you got to, like, really think about, you know, before and during, but mainly before, you know, you get into this business. You got to put in the work. You got to study. You got to, you know, build relationships. And, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, people have to realize that the minute you step in front of a camera, you are now a business, and you have to conduct yourself that way. And, you know, it's, for me, you know, it's been real tricky. Like, I've had people come to me and tell me that the only way I'm going to succeed is if I go date somebody famous. You know,
wow,
what I mean? Like,
are you
in the
serious?
Beginning, man, like, in the beginning, like, that's kind of like, you know, people think like that, you know, like, you know, or you got to go and, you know, sleep with people, like the whole casting couch thing and how, you know, all those kind of things. And for me, it's like the one thing I learned early on in this game, for me, I was like, yo, the one thing that I'm going to focus on, the two things basically, is like respect and longevity. And that's what I've tried to do. I've tried to keep my name in a respectful lane. You know, I've tried not to do things that were going to, you know, damage my career and so forth. And, you know, and just constantly either reinventing yourself or, you know, finding a new lane or not being afraid to try new things, you know, whether it's comedy or it's drama. Like, I've been doing a lot of drama lately where I've had to, like, really dig deep and, like, get emotional. And I'm usually, like, a really goofy-ass person. So, you know, it's like, it definitely will, you know, it's deep, man. Like, well, I guess, like, with anything, but, you know, You gotta love it. You gotta really want it.
Really,
right?
That's real.
If that
that's
answers
real.
Your question, that's a big question, and I can go on and on, but that's pretty much.
Wow.
You know,
I appreciate that. Now, my second question for you is, what were some of your sacrifices and challenges as an actress and a model in this industry that you like you had to face? You know, the stereotypes and all the craziness.
A lot of the sacrifices, I would say, you know what I mean? You sacrifice a lot of things, like with your family and just things that you probably were used to. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I've missed a lot of birthdays and holidays and, you know, things like that. And in the beginning, my family wasn't really like, they didn't really understand it, you know? And my family, which is one of my biggest motivations, like they kind of didn't really, in the beginning, they didn't really understand the hustle to this. And, you know, and I'm very close with my family. Like, my family means everything to me. And that was kind of a major sacrifice for me, just not being able to be there. Like, I used to, you know, I like to be at all my, you know, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, whatever, birthdays and basketball games and stuff like that. And, you know, that all changes. You know, and then on the other part of your question, the other sacrifices with the modeling and stuff like that. When I first got into this business, like, I played softball my whole life. I started playing softball when I was 5. So I was always kind of like a big girl. And I always had, you know, being skinny and being thin, like, that really wasn't something I ever wanted or aspired to be. And it wasn't until, like, the whole modeling thing came along and it was like, yo, you know, they want to book you, but you're too big. And, like, the whole weight thing became such a major issue. And then so I was like, all right. So I kind of, like, lost the weight and got small and got skinny. And when I was modeling, I was, like, thinner than I am now because I was overseas and, you know, whatnot. But and then you have your urban fans or you just family, friends, everybody trying to give you a sandwich. But they don't understand. It's like, yo, I need to be like this because that's where the money is coming from. So that, like, that's always been a thing for me, even now, kind of, sort of, because my fan base is like majority urban, or just, you know what I mean, like,
right.
And so sometimes, like, people see me and it's just kind of like, yo, you know, you got thin or whatever. And then it's like, but you want, you know, you got the thickness. You know, like, that, I don't want it to seem shallow, but it really is kind of like a thing where you don't know what to appease, you know. So that's been, like, a little sacrifice for me. So, you know, just being healthy and being in shape right now means more to me. I've come to the conclusion that, like, screw all of that. I'm just going to be, like, you know, I'm 5'10", so I'm already tall.
Wow. Well, yeah. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
No doubt, no doubt. My brother, Leo, you got any questions for Katie?
Definitely. How are you, Miss Lady?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
All right, now, already establishing that you had a presence behind the camera, what drew your heart to acting?
You know, it's so funny. Like, I really didn't even start, like, doing the whole hair and makeup thing until I was, like, older. And because I was a tomboy my whole life. So it really wasn't until somebody approached me about taking some pictures and then they, like, put makeup on me and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then I saw the pictures and I was like, oh, wow, I'm kind of cute. And then it was like.
Looking more to condo.
And then it
was. You're like, I look.
I was like, whoa. And then, and it was just funny to be, you know, like, I give glory to God because, you know, because it's like, that's kind of what's been spearheading this whole thing. Like, in the beginning, it just was, this is all stuff that just happened. Like the modeling and stuff like that, it kind of just happened. There was a desire there because, you know, when I was going to school in San Diego and I was living in San Diego, I used to, like, do hair shows, and it was like, I mean, you know, we go get like a big old bag of fried chicken and a box of wine, and we're sitting back here doing hair shows, and I got all these crazy ass hairstyles, and you know what I mean? And it was just like that was like it for me. And then, you know, everything I did kept making it in all these hair magazines, and then that's when I was like, yo, let me go to LA and try to see what this is, because everybody was like, girl, you should be a model. You should be a model. I was like, okay, I'm a size 12, but I'm going to be a model. So I come to LA, and they're like, yeah, you cute, but you're just too big. And then so once I got down and stuff, everything just started happening. Like just like you said in the beginning, it was like the modeling. And then next thing you know, someone was taking me to a commercial agent, and I'm booking commercial agents. And then someone took me to a print agent, and it was just like, and then from that same company that sent me to that audition for Friday After Next, that was just somebody walked me in there and was like, you need, this is your next superstar, you need her. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm with it, let's go. You know what I mean? And it just kind of like, that's it, just the doors just kept opening, you know. And I'm thankful, but it's, you know, and it's been a hell of a ride. But, you know, it was, once I got a taste of it and I started noticing like how natural it felt for me, you know, and that's when my desires and you know, my dreams started getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, just taking from that, just developing that passion and that drive, now, what would be your dream role to play?
I mean, you know, like, I don't want to put a ceiling on my dreams, but you know, there's so many roles that I desire to play, cause I'm one of them kind of people where I feel like I could really be anything and do anything. And you know, just recently I did a movie where I played a stripper, and that was kind of a passion. I was like, oh, I want to be a stripper, like all the
right.
things that kind of like. Like, for real, like, because I was like, I know if I'm going to be a stripper, I'm going to be a good one. You know, it is like, then I just recently did something where I played a cop. And it was like, you know, that was something that I've always, like, thought about, like, oh, I want to be a cop. Like, I'm kind of like one of those, you know, I'm still a kid when it comes to, you know, the things that go through my mind, like, oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I still kind of have those type of desires and fantasies and whatnot, but you know, I love action. I've done some action in my career. I did a movie called Frankenfish, you know, where we're running from these fish.
I remember that.
Yeah, I liked Frankenfish. I did all my own stunts in that movie, by the way. And,
oh wow! Okay, you did some serious stunts in that movie.
No, yeah. Did you see when I got blown off that exploding house?
Exactly. That's what I was about to say, when you got blown off that house.
No,
yes.
And listen, this is the funny story, right? So they had a harness on me. So when the house blew up, the harness yanked me in the air like 30 feet. And then I landed in that river, in that swamp. We were in the swamp, yo, and that was at night. Mind you, it was in November in Alabama, and it was like the coldest winter on record. And so I'm in the water, and I got to be unconscious. So I'm in the water, and mind you, there was alligators and water moccasins in the water.
Yeah.
So we had a stunt team in the water setting off explosives to keep them away from me. So while I'm sitting there unconscious in the water, the actor who's supposed to swim over to save me, this fool was like smoking 10 packs a day. So he kept running out of energy and running out of like, yo, he's running out of wind trying to swim to me. And I'm like, oh, they're supposed to be unconscious. And I can feel a little fish tugging at my hair while it's in the water. So
this cat
kept
having a hard time breathing, screaming for the stuntman. Stuntman, get over here. I can't swim no more. Wow.
I mean, I really like, mind you, I ended up in the emergency room on the last scene of that movie, and I shot the rest of the movie with my legs stitched up. It was really cool. But, like, I like stuff like that. So, and I think it comes from me being an athlete. So any type of, like, just challenging, like, you know what I mean? Like action, those type of roles, either that or kind of like the Bourne series, you know, like I always say, man, I'm that chick that you can send in there to get the information and, you know, get some stuff done and they'll never see me coming, like those kind of things. Like that's what I'm into. But
I can see myself as either a Denzel Training Day, John Q, Will Smith, Pursuit of Happiness. That's the type of role that I feel. But yeah, I can.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I can hear it in your voice.
There it is, brother. There it is.
And action.
No doubt. Well, you know, I got some tidbits of information that I'm pretty sure some of the fans that are listening right now probably didn't know that you were ranked number 14 as the hottest celebrity ahead of Jessica Alba and Scarlett Johansson. That's
Was that the Maxim? I was in Maxim's Hot 100 3 years in a row.
Yes.
Big for a sister, I thought.
And then also in 2007, you were named in the top 10 most beautiful Victoria's Secret models, ranked number 4 ahead of Tyra Banks and Heidi Klum.
Mm.
Wow.
That's what I call work. I don't really like get caught up in
stuff like that, because then, you know, your head gets big and you start to believe your own hype, and next thing you know, like, no. I don't even watch a lot of my movies, to be honest with you. Like, I just kind of wait to see the response. I'll ask, you know, the writer or the director or somebody, like, they'll, you know, like, what'd you think? You know, and they're just like, man, you killed it.
Not
or whatever, and I'm like, all right, great, on to the next.
Now, do you have anything currently that you're working on right now, any films or TV shows that you're working on right now?
Not right now, because I have this, one of my true desires is to produce. And I've been like under a rock a little bit lately, I've teamed up with some writers, like some really successful writers, and they're helping me develop some ideas that I have. I did a Nollywood movie. Are you familiar with Nollywood? That's why one of the reasons why I was out in Africa. I did a big African movie because Nigerian Hollywood is called Nollywood, and it's like the second or third largest film market next to us.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so and it was like, I guess the first time they merged like a big budget film where they merged African actors and American, you know, Black American actors, and it was cool because I got to work with like Todd Bridges and Ernie Hudson, the brother from Ghostbusters, and a bunch of other stuff, and we were like the three American actors.
Now, did you ask Ty, was it really a different stroke, or did you just leave that alone?
Let me tell you, y'all don't, like, he's cool as hell, right? And, like, it's so funny.
I believe it.
No, for real. Like, he's been sober for, like, 20 years or something like that, and it's so funny. This is a funny story, like, if he's listening. But, like, he gave me a copy of his book when we were in London promoting the film, and I read it. And you know how some people tell you, like, hey, I wrote a book, and it's like that means they went and got somebody else to write it, like a real writer to write the book. No, he wrote this book. So it was like, I'm reading it, and he was like, so I'm riding in my Mercedes-Benz in Burbank, and the police, you know what I'm saying? And it was just kind of like, he wrote this. Like, so it was really funny. But,
like, wow, he really wrote this.
No, yeah. You should read it out loud. You should read it
out
loud.
I'm gonna have to check that out and give it a look and see what he got in it.
Yeah, no, it tells a lot about. It's so funny because he kept cracking a joke. He's like, man, if I knew you back in the day, I would have had you turned it. I was like, no, you wouldn't have.
Wow.
No.
When he told you that case, you should have looked at him like, what you talking about? I'd have been like, what are you talking about, Willis? Oh man, wow. That's interesting. That's definitely interesting. Well, I know that
I've done some really good independent movies lately. But okay, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Now I know that before you even got into the business, before even you started modeling, you used to work at Macy's.
Yeah.
So, do you ever go, you know, some people always, you know, sometimes when some people tend to go back to the old job and see what it's like, and, you know, did you ever do that? Did you ever get a chance to go back to the old gig?
I did, and I saw one, like, lady, like, a little moment, you know. Because I used to do makeup at the little makeup counter for Estee Lauder. And that was like around that time when everybody was telling me I was just too big, like I was just too far off with the whole weight thing. So I was like, well, screw it. I'm just gonna get in the entertainment business somehow. So that's why I was like, I'll just go learn how to do makeup and I'll be a makeup artist.
That's real.
And I was like,
no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, let me see. I know my brother's probably got some closing comments. CK, any closing comments for Katie?
I just want to tell her to keep doing her thing. Keep doing you. I appreciate what you're doing in the industry, and I look forward to more of what you're doing. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Katie. This is Elio. I want to thank you again for coming on. How can one stay in contact with you, the fans, social websites? Are you on any of those networks?
Yeah, I'm on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I got some real cool photos from the trip to Africa on my Instagram. It's at the real Katie Aubert or Aubert, however you
feel comfortable.
No doubt.
But yeah.
So you're on the Instagram train too, huh?
Yeah, I'm really like liking it. It's a lot of fun.
What do you feel about Vine?
Oh yeah, I gotta get on this. Someone's putting me on Vine right now too. Do you know about Keek? Keek.
Ooh. You know what? Somebody told me about that. But I haven't got a chance to check it out.
Yeah, they're on that out in Africa. It's just like Vine. You know, when we get stuff, like they're on like WhatsApp right now, real tough, because like the whole BBM thing, I think that might be fading out with them. Like all my European, like international people, they was on that BBM. Now like everybody's on WhatsApp and, you know, all this stuff goes. Like.
No doubt. Well, Katie, I just want to say that we had a wonderful time with you tonight. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight, and we're definitely going to stay in touch with you and definitely keep up with everything that you're working on, and we do support everything that you do. And as far as we're concerned, you're no longer a guest. on our network. You're a family member now, so you're welcome here anytime. And we had an incredible time with you, and we thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, man, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for the love, for real.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And like I said, we
I'm going to come hang out, though.
No doubt. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Real quick before you go, I just found out. I guess the rumor is that Kim and Kanye came up with a name for the baby, and I guess supposedly the name is probably going to be Cadence Donda West. I mean, people was looking for maybe Kenye, but I guess not. So I guess they're just gonna go with Kenye.
Kenye. that means Sunday in African.
You said that means what? That means Sunday. Oh man, hey, I'm pretty sure they probably don't know that either.
No.
But definitely,
he
I
probably does
I
before
do
he does, because she probably knows my.
Oh, you already know that. but definitely, I wanna thank you for definitely hanging out with us. We had a ball with you tonight. I wanna thank you so much for joining us. And definitely, I'll tell everybody. Definitely, you know, guys, keep checking Katie out on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook, on everything that she's doing, everything that she's working on. And we're definitely going to be on the lookout for whatever it is that you wanna
I got a movie screening this weekend coming up at the African Black Film Festival called Lap Dance. That's the stripper movie I did. And it's
so
cool.
You know what? I did hear about that. I was reading about
Lisa
that.
Ray
so, yeah,
did a cameo in it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So she channeled her Players Club, huh?
Yeah, like for real. And then Carmen Electra and two of the stars from the Step Up 2 dance movie. Like it's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check that out, definitely. Well, again, we're definitely gonna tell everybody to check it out and definitely keep up with everything that's going on with you. And you definitely stay blessed and we're gonna continue to support you and all that you're doing right now.
I appreciate that. God bless you guys.
All right, God bless you. Have a blessed night.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, D-Hour Radio Network, Tuesday Spot, D-Slater and the Brothers getting it in with the beautiful Miss Katie Albert, doing it like that as always. Coming up next, it's going down. You already know what we're doing. It's Real Men Talking, the number one segment on the D-Hour Radio Network's Tuesday Spot. Oh, ladies, if you have questions you want the brothers to ask, any of your love relationship questions, and you want our point of view, it's going down when we come back. D-Hour Radio Network, D-Slay, L-E-O-C-K. We got some music for you. This is my girl Shamora with Deal Breaker. Let's go.
A superwoman intuition tells me that things are just a little out of sync. And when I called it out, you barely could look me in my face. And now you're hollering, baby, don't let us break up. There's gotta be a way that we can make up. Oh, but you ain't know that. We just gotta know that we can take a lot, but this is where it stops, boy. Go on, play all in the covers if you want. That's a deal breaker. Go on. Shut you out, boy. Go on.
another one, don't you forget, baby.
Back to you.
Hey.
Back to you.
Hey.
So I give up the battle just in one.
back to you once again, back to us, back to them, back to everybody right here on the D'Alba Radio Network, D-Slate, L-E-O-C-K, the brothers in the building getting it in for the fit-ins once again. That was my man Idris with Back to You. Before that was my girl Shamora with Deal Breaker, doing it like that, playing the hits as always. And if you want your hits played, if you were a singer, hip-hop artist, gospel artist, you want your music played on the network, you want us to get your get an interview in with you, no problem. All you have to do is email us at thehourshow@gmail.com. That's thehourshow@gmail.com. You can also catch up with us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Just search the keywords, The Hour Show. Again, hit after hit on the Tuesday spot right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the number one segment right here on Tuesday. We like to call Real Men Talking. Ladies, if you would like us to answer your relationship questions, your love and relationship questions, please take the time right now. You can log into the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/thehourshow, or we prefer you can call us at 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553, and ask us your love or relationship question so you can get our point of view, and we will answer your question as honest and detailed as possible to help you get through whatever you're going through. Real men talking, and let's get it in. Fellas, I think your boy's going to start it off first. I think I'm going to get it in first. I definitely got some really good questions. My first question that I was asked to ask is, what do men want to be appreciated for?
Mm.
What do men want to be appreciated for?
I think I can take a spin on it. I think just taking it all the way back to childhood life and how we were we're competitors, and basically we want to be appreciated for what we've brought to the table, anything that we contributed to the relation. We just want to be appreciated for that. That's a good question. Oh man, I think I would think, yeah, for what we brought to the table. If it's emotional, or not necessarily material, but just in a general sense, for what I bring to the table, what I'm giving you, where I put you in my life, I should be appreciated for that.
CK?
Thing about the question is, you know, to me it's pretty broad, but I'll try to answer the best way I can. I think we as men want to be appreciated for the hard work and the effort that we put into relationships with these women, and the 100% time, the love, the attention, affection. We just want to be treated as equals and not as like, oh, you do as I say and I say as I do, you know, but be equal, you know, be 100 with us, we be 100 with you. Try to have some trust, try to leave out the drama. I think we feel more appreciated if we had those things instead of always the nagging, the fussing, the insecurity, and the non-communication, excuse me. But that's pretty much what I get from it.
No doubt. I'm gonna hit it like this. Ladies, I think that for me, and I'm gonna go a different route with it. I'm gonna say that I think that it really truly depends on the status of that relationship, you know, as far as what we want to be appreciated for. Because if we're married as a husband, you know, we want to be appreciated for being the head of the household. We want to be appreciated for being the rock of the family. We want to be appreciated for giving the family all the support that a husband and a man of the household is supposed to be. Everything that the man is supposed to be in that relationship that we're giving wholeheartedly in that marriage, then I think that's what we want to be appreciated for as a husband. Now, I think if you're in a relationship, and if you're in a relationship, I think what a man wants to be appreciated for, and I'm going to say this, I think deep down, a man wants to be appreciated for all those things that women always say they want from a man, you know, thinking that men aren't capable of giving those things like communication and being sensitive and understanding, you know, your needs and emotionally being there for you. Men can do those things. I think that it depends on the type of love that you bring to the table and that will allow that man to be that man that you want him to be. You know, I think it truly do depend on the type of love that, you know, like I said, that you're bringing to the table and the type of love that you're giving him. That will definitely bring out the man that you want him to be. So knowing that we are capable of those things and knowing that we can give you that, I think truly that's what a man wants to be appreciated for. A man wants to be appreciated for being, for knowing that he can be that man that you want him to be. But again, you know, it just truly depends on what you're bringing to the table as well, because a man don't want to feel alone in this whole relationship business. You know, he don't want to feel alone in the relationship. He don't want to feel like he's giving his 100% and you only giving 20 or 30%. So I truly think that it really depends on the scope of the relationship and what you're bringing to the table, because that man can be everything that you want him to be just depending on what you're giving as well. So I think that's truly what we want to be appreciated for.
I agree.
Should I spin the next one?
No doubt, Elio. What you got for us, bro?
Okay. It's sort of like a two-section. Okay. Do you think it's a manly trait to go through your woman's phone? And should that ever happen for a man to do? Is this something a man should or should not do?
Wait. Say that again, bro.
Do you think it's a manly trait to go through your woman's phone?
To go through your woman's phone?
Yeah.
Look, I'm gonna hit that one first.
go on.
You know what? I don't think it's a manly trait. I don't think it's a womanly trait. I don't think it's an adult trait to go through somebody's phone. First of all, if you're going through, if he's got to go through your phone, or if you got to go through his phone, then you have some trust issues. Then before you have the urge to want to go through somebody's phone, or you know, as the man or the woman, period. Before you have the urge to want to go through your significant other's phone, then I think that you need to address the trust issues and try to fix the trust issues. Because if you feel like you got to go through somebody's phone, then that's a problem. So I think you need to address those trust issues before you even, you know, think, oh, I need to go through his phone. No, you know, what you need to do is discuss those trust issues. You know, because if you got to go through somebody's phone to get the information that you're looking for, then you probably want to reevaluate that relationship that you're in, because it shouldn't even come down to that. A relationship, when you're in a relationship, it should be enjoyable, man. It should be fun. You should want to spend time with that person. You should love being around them and love talking to them, and just trust that everything is okay and everything is going well in that relationship. If you feel like you got to go searching through something, then you need to reevaluate what's real about that relationship.
Solid.
You know, I know a lot of phones these days, ladies. I'm telling you right now, you know, some brothers is getting hip to the whole going through the phone business. So a lot of phones these days, you damn near got to get a put a you got you damn near got to put a retinal scan and a palm put your palm on a phone just to break through the security. You know, it's so tight now. So they making security on phones so tight now. I think a lot of ladies gonna have to come up with some other ways to get that information that they're looking for, because it's getting real tight on the security on these phones these days.
Wow.
Okay, my take on that. I just had a situation as of this morning where I had a friend, her boyfriend, got on her phone and texted me something just to see what my response was going to be. And keep in mind, I'm asleep. This is like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm asleep. So when I got the text, I'm looking, I'm like, really? What else? So when I talked with her today, she was like, what's this about? What you talking about? What you acting on? I'm like, you text me at 3. So I'm like, no, I didn't. I'm saying, yes, you did. I had to take a picture. I had to do a screenshot of the text message with her picture and or her text message and send it back. And she said she told me her boyfriend was texting a lot of people out of her phone, getting some stuff started, and already got some more stuff started. So my thing is, it's been known for women to go through that. It's like the old saying, like what Shirley Brown said, she went through her man's pocket and found a number. It's pretty much been known as a nature for a woman to go through a man's phone before a man ever went through a woman's phone. I think both sides of it is wrong because of the fact that the phone is, I think you should respect each other's privacy. On top of it, like I said, it's this trust issue there that needs to be discussed. I mean, I don't think it's a man's nature. I don't think it's a woman's nature either. I just think it's an insecure person's nature, whether it's man or woman. But, I mean, and I know it sounds like real backwards on what I just said, but that's just crazy. I mean, hell, I remember a time that people used to go through people's pages and see who paid someone. So I mean, and that's a long time ago. So it's kind of crazy. I don't think nobody should have a right to go through another person's phone like that.
I'm agree with the two of you. Now as far as the question of is it being a manly trait? No, is it a humanly trait? Yeah, but it all draws down to the lack of communication between the two. And have I done it before? Yeah, but it's all, as I can see today, a lack of communication, whereas though I'm not getting the answers that I need from you, and if I still feel like there's some gap of information that's missing out or left out, and I go searching myself, but I don't think it's a good thing to do, because most of the time you find things that you may not really understand in its depth. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And we may not know what intent is behind what you see. What you see may be wrong, but you shouldn't go in people's personal space. I'm not for it now. I don't have a lock on my phone. No, I don't feel as a need to lock my phone. You go through my phone, you found what you were looking for, and that's that. And a lock won't exist on my phone again. So that is what it is.
But you know what? Again, I'm gonna just say that shouldn't be a trait for anybody. I think that again, if you feel like you got to go through somebody's phone, then you need to address some trust issues and why you feel like you got to do that. And if you still don't get what you're looking for, then you need to reevaluate that relationship. You need to reevaluate it, because it shouldn't. Because if the relationship is moving on, that type of if the relationship is moving on that type of foundation, because we put up new foundation in relationships all the time. Cause sometimes the old foundation can crack a little bit or get a little brittle, so you want to add another layer of foundation on there. So if you if your relationship is going off of that particular foundation, that you're going through each other's stuff, and then you know what? That's not a healthy relationship. That's not a healthy relationship. If you feel like you got to go through people's belongings to get information, then you need to reevaluate that, because if you're not getting the information that you're looking for, and if you still feel like some shady business is going on, then you need to reevaluate that relationship. You know, because it shouldn't have to be like that, because that's uncomfortable, not just for you, but for the person that's involved in that. You know, the person whose phone you're going through or whose belongings you're going through. So no, I think that it's not healthy. I think that you really need to reevaluate what's real in that relationship.
Right.
So real quick, I'm gonna go to the phone line before I pose my last question, and see if we got any callers that wanna ask us any questions. Area code 312-344. You're on the Tuesday spot with the brothers. What's your name? Where you calling from? All right, I guess not. Well, look here. I'm gonna do this, fellas. My last question. Doing it like that.
Okay.
What does being loved provide for you? What does being loved provide for you?
Can I take a stab on that real quickly?
No doubt.
All right. For me, being loved is pretty much just the feeling of being that someone actually cares, somebody truly feels you, someone understands you and appreciates you, and that to me, it can go a long way, because, I mean, it'd be time in our lives where we feel like no one cares, no one loves us. I'm unhappy, I'm miserable, but to know that someone actually loves you. That you feel like you're alone in this world, and now you know that you are loved, you're not alone, and there are people that care about you.
My take, being in love or being loved, is that the question, being loved? Or?
Yeah. What does being loved provide for you?
A sense of security, fullness. I believe that the world is designed for everybody to have somebody, and if you're an individual who's not loved by somebody, I think it's a really, really bitter place for you. I think it's an indication of people somewhere understand of what you're going through, or if you want to talk about being in love and being intimate with someone, in order to be intimate, I think a love needs to be established, or it's meaningless. Love creates meaning, and that's me.
No doubt. I'm gonna hit it like this. First of all, for me, being loved, it fills my heart and soul. It fills my heart and soul with compassion. It fills my heart and soul with the thoughts that someone truly do care about me, someone truly does love me. It fills my heart and soul. Being loved provides me with compassion. It provides me with passion. It provides me with a sense of companionship. You know, it feeds my hunger for companionship. You know, everybody wants companionship. Everybody truly wants to be loved by someone. So being loved, that's what that provides for me. I mean, it doesn't even matter, you know, where it's coming from. I mean, it could be in state, it could be out of state. You know, with that hint, It could be out of state. But love, you know, but love, you know, provides a man with, you know, a sense of companionship, that companionship, you know, that we hunger for, you know, that sense of caring and that sense of passion that we hunger for, that's what it provides for us. And for me, that's what being loved provides for me.
Solid. I got a couple of questions.
See how powerful I just moved it?
Yeah, I think I have a couple of more if y'all up for it.
Well, hit us. Well, wait. Did CK, did you get one in for us?
Not yet. I have a few, but I'm looking through the list on which ones I want to go after. I mean, I think I got the one that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, hit us with.
All right. Can you be friends first before they become lovers, or is a line that should be not crossed?
Can you be friends first before you become lovers? Absolutely. But see, here's the thing. I mean, and you know, a lot of women, you know, you hear a lot of women say that they, you know, they want to be friends first, and you know, they want to be really good friends with the person that they're with and that they're in love with. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But understand that you really don't have to. Okay, here's my thing. You shouldn't have to look for something that's already there. And when I say that, ladies, when I say that, you shouldn't have to look for wanting to be friends with that person. Because the thing about it is, when you go on a journey, and being in that relationship, because being in a relationship with somebody is a journey. So when you go on that journey with that man or woman, however you get down, but when you go through that journey, you know, you're going to become friends with that person, because there's no possible way you can be in a relationship with somebody and not be friends with them. And when I say be friends, when you're talking and you make each other laugh and you like hanging out with each other and you're calling each other all the time, those are qualities and traits that friends do with each other. Those are things that friends do with each other. So, again, I say when you're in a relationship and you're in a journey in that relationship and you're becoming a part of that relationship and you're making that relationship grow, you're becoming friends with that person, whether you was friends with them or not. Even if you started dating somebody and you weren't friends with them first, you're going to become friends as the relationship progresses. So, again, you shouldn't have to look for something that's already going to be there.
Right. I believe that, yeah, friends do come and go, and I think it's situational when it comes to, you know, friends before lovers. Depending on the type of friends and the maturity level of the two, it's more than possible, yeah. And I do agree with Dee Slate when you say that eventually, instantaneously, you do become friends once you enter in a relationship, period. But depending on the friendship of the two, if it's a friendship that you don't want to tarnish, or it's a friendship that you can handle being in a relationship with that person, but because once you get intimate and you enter in a relationship, it's a different level. Things become a different perspective. It's not the same anymore. You're not pen pals. You guys were exposed in that way. You got to talk in that way, but now you're in a relationship. Things start to change a little bit. So it depends on the maturity level of the two, and that's basically it. So, yes, it's more than possible.
That's real. CK?
My intake on that is that, you know, I feel you can be friends with them before and afterwards. It's just a matter of how true it really is. I mean, I know love and sex does come in, and it does change things between people. And I've seen friendships breaking up because of that, because of love and because of sex as well. But, I mean, like I agree with y'all. You have to be friends before anything. You have to know each other and trust each other. I think they'll be healthy before you get into a relationship or start having these other feelings for a person that you know this person at least and be cool with them. You know, y'all can have an understanding. Y'all can, it won't be no, I didn't know this and I didn't know that about you and you know, it all work out. So I say that some people are going to say that friends and lovers shouldn't cross that line, but I think it can work out. It's just the maturity level of the whole thing. You got to be mature about it, because if you're not, then there's no point of even trying. You may not have been ready for it to begin with. It's point blank.
That's real. We only got a few minutes left, so I just want to make this comment, and I just want to say that, you know, with some people, you know, ladies, this thing is, you know, sometimes you hear a lot of women say, well, I want to be friends first, or I want to get to know you and become friends with you. Okay, the thing about it is, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but understand something. This is something you got to understand. That when you're in a relationship or you're starting up a relationship with someone, or you want to be in a relationship with someone, it's time. Time will tell. Okay? Time will tell. Because you can't get to know somebody. You can't get to truly know somebody within a couple of weeks. You can't truly get to know somebody within a month or two. It don't work like that. Okay? It don't work like that. Because initially, when you meet someone and you start talking with them and, you know, getting to know things about them, and you meet them and to see what the physical attraction is all about, the thing about it is, you know, when you're talking with someone, you know, whether it's face-to-face or whatever the case may be, when you're talking with someone, as a man or a woman, you know whether or not you want to be in a relationship with them. You know whether or not you're going to want to do that. And the thing about it is, being in a relationship, It's again, I say again, like I've always said, being in a relationship, it's like rolling dice. It's like rolling dice. You either going to roll that 7 or that 11, or you're going to crap out, plain and simple. Plain and simple. So it just truly depends on how you feel and your work, because it's work in a relationship. You got to put your work in. He's got to put his work in. So the thing about it is that you just it's time will tell. Time will tell how successful that relationship is going to be. Time will tell how bad that relationship is going to be. But again, the magic word is time. Time.
Exactly.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Real men talking. We get it in like this every Tuesday on the Tuesday spot. Ladies, if you have any questions, love or relationship questions you would like us to answer, we will answer them as honestly and as detailed as we possibly can to help you with whatever you're going through in your relationship. But definitely, you know, if we can help your help curb your curiosity, by all means, you know, please feel free to ask us, you know, whatever questions you want for our segment, Real Men Talking. We're gonna take a quick music break, and when we come back, the brothers is going to close it out for the night. And we had another wonderful show tonight, and I definitely thank you guys for tuning in with us. It's D Slate CKLEO, the Tuesday spot. It's High Five, the brothers of High Five with their new single, Favorite Girl. Let's go.
Someone new.
Again, Tuesday Spot, the Hour Radio Network. The brothers is in the building. DJ Elio CK getting it in like that. That was the brothers of High Five with their new single, Favorite Girl, right here on the Tuesday Spot. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to close it out for the night. I want to thank everybody for tuning in with us tonight. As always, make sure you tune into the Hour Radio Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on. You never know what we're going to be talking about. You just got to listen and tune in so you can be a part of the experience that is the Diablo Radio Network. CK, any closing comments, bro?
I just want to tell everybody have a great week. This Saturday, if you're in St. Louis, June 22nd, I'll be performing at the show called Creative Grooves. It'll be held at a new restaurant. I'll give more details on my Facebook site. And it's come out and support. It's gonna be a wonderful show. X Rain, my friends Lightning and AD, known as the Perfect Storm, is gonna be there. I will be there as well as I made an announcement yesterday that I am nominated for the National Poetry Awards and for Slam Artist of the Year. We got done with the first voting round. Yes. So the second round of voting will start on June 20th, and it'll last through July 20th. So it'll be announced at the NPAs on August 24th. So I'm so glad and looking forward to that. And I just have a great week, everybody, and keep in touch.
Ellie, yo, closing comments, bro.
Definitely. Always live every day optimistic, and by me saying that, that goes on the topic of the poverty. Just have a plan. Stay focused. Touch on Africa briefly. There was the rock, the core, the foundation of this world to be. So all of the resources are there. Why not go there? So that's another story. Great show. And stay with it. Tune in next week.
No doubt, ladies and gentlemen, no doubt. And I just want to send a big shout-out to our girl, Katie Aubert, for joining us tonight on the show. Aubrey, for joining us tonight. She said it like I know she speaks French, and I wanted to ask her to say something in French for us, but we'll do that next time we get her on the show. But I definitely want to send a big shout-out to the beautiful Miss Katie Aubert for joining us on the show tonight. We had a wonderful time with her, and definitely a wonderful time with you guys, as always, for tuning in and hanging out with us. Always be safe, be blessed, and I want to say make sure you tune in next week on the Tuesday spot, because next week on the Tuesday spot, we will be talking to the beautiful Miss Erica Alexander from the hit TV show Living Single. She's going to be joining us next week on the show, so definitely make sure you guys tune in for that special show. And make sure you tune in tomorrow for Naja Head Wednesday, Celebrity Thursday, and also Indie Up Saturday this Saturday. Get it in with us on the Diablo Radio Network. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next time. Please enjoy the rest of your night. Please be safe. It's D Slate, L-E-O-C-K, signing off. Oh, we'll holler at y'all later.
Peace.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, it's your boy Envy, and this is how we do. Let's go. It's the D-Hour Show.
Okay, you okay, know. Okay. Now tell me who the hottest in town. Reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the burbs, so yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend, and 10 minutes later, the same song again. It's the D-Hour Show, yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the Starship, hottest station show. We love the underground artists. Yeah.